Shalom and welcome again to another edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. I'm your host, Rabbi Richard Address, and I greatly appreciate you being with us. These podcasts are designed to explore issues that touch us and our families in light of the revolution in longevity that's reshaping much of our Jewish community as we speak. We appreciate your support. Again, you can follow us at JewishSacredAging.com, and we invite you also to visit the Jewish Sacred Aging Facebook page. For today's edition of Seekers of Meaning, it gives us great pleasure to welcome Audrey Lichter, the Executive Director of Chai Mitzvah, and Nina Wallen, the Managing Director of Chai Mitzvah, a very unique and exciting program. And ladies, thank you very, very much for joining us and going to educate us as to what Chai Mitzvah is. Welcome. I hope both of you are well. I know both of you are on various islands someplace in the Atlantic. So exciting. Thanks to our producer for bringing all of us together. So Audrey, as the executive director of Chai Mitzvah, why don't you just assume that I have no idea what you're talking about? What is Chai Mitzvah? How did you develop this? How did it get started? And what do you want to do with it?
All right. Well, first of all, thank you so much, Rabbi Address, for putting us on today. We've been a big fan of yours. I've been a big fan of yours for many years, even when you and I were the only ones in the room in the very beginning.
So, it's been a lot easier. thank you.
A lot of years ago, but we've both been very committed to lifelong learning. So let me step back a little bit and tell you how Chai Mitzvah started and what it's about. So in 2009, I met a gentleman. His name is Scott Shea. Scott is a very, very successful business leader in New York. He's chairman of Signature Bank, but he's an amazing thought leader and is always thinking about the Jewish community. And he had written a book just a couple of years before called Getting Our Groove Back, How to Energize American Jewry. And in that book, he dealt with what I call a lot of the thorny issues affecting American Jewry at the time. And one of the things he noticed and one of the things he wrote about was that we are living longer lives, and those lives are more, we're more energetic, we're healthier, thank God. And people are also losing their engagement to the organized Jewish community through their throughout their lives. So as their children become a bar bat mitzvah, there is this tendency to drop out of congregational life. And so people are doing other things with their time. So he wanted to figure out a way to keep people engaged in their lives throughout their long lives. So he devised this program. He thought that it would be great to keep people engaged every 18 years after their bar or bat mitzvah. So we had these ages that were 18 years after the age of 13, all throughout your life. And his goal was to establish a new, really a new ritual of what we called a Chai Mitzvah. So we launched, so I met him at a conference. I actually was an educator. I was running a community-based Hebrew high school program in Hartford, Connecticut. And I met him at a conference, and I told him, I said, this is a great book. I loved it. I love this idea of Chai Mitzvah. And I said, what are you doing to make it happen? And he looked at me, he said, well, I wrote about it. Well, I said, writing about something and making it happen are two different things. So he didn't know me at all, but he basically said, so what do you want to do? And I said, well, I'd love to do this program. So after 16 years of running this high school, I started with Scott. We started and we piloted and we created a program that we called Chai Mitzvah. And the first couple of years, the rabbis hated it. They begged us to get rid of the ages because they said, it's not really about the age you are. It's about the stage of your life. So you could be 50 and be an empty nester. You could be 50 and have young children. You could be 50 and not married. So the ages didn't really make sense, and the rabbis specifically hated to turn people away. So we got rid of the ages, but we kept the name High Mitzvah. So that's the etiology of High Mitzvah. So Scott has been the board chairman and founder of this organization since 2009 when we started, and we incorporated as a not-for-profit 501c3. So let me tell you a little bit about what we do and the theory behind Chai Mitzvah. So the fundamental theory is that we believe that there are a lot of really talented educators, rabbis, people in the community. And there's a lot of supply. There's a lot of things happening in the Jewish community. There's just not enough demand. So we wanted to create a program that would create more demand for the supply that's in the Jewish community. And so we did this by creating this two-part program called Chai Mitzvah. So one piece of this program is that you create a group, a small group, and this group can be housed in a synagogue, at a JCC, at a federation, among friends. Anytime you can bring a small group together, between 5 and 12 people. And they make a commitment to come together for at least 9 to 12 sessions. And we supply a beautiful source book each month for the group. And we'll tell you a little bit about the curriculum. But basically, the group comes together, and these groups form a very tight bond together, and they go through the source books. The source books have a Jewish text, they have conversations, and they're very user-friendly. So we like to say, you can have a PhD in English literature and run a book group, and you can read a book and run a book group. So we want people to grapple with the Jewish text, but to do it at whatever level they're comfortable learning it. So these conversations happen around these source books. And then there's a second part to Chai Mitzvah we call the Jewish bucket list. So we ask each individual in that group to identify three things that are important to them. Something that they want to learn, something Jewish that they want to learn, a ritual to take on or deepen, and engage in a social action project. And we ask them to look into their community to identify and to fulfill those things that they want to do. So if it's a synagogue, we say, okay, there's a lot of things happening in the synagogue. There's a lot of opportunities for social action. There's a lot of opportunities for learning. There's services. You can make a commitment. So we have people that do all kinds of things. But the most important thing is it has to be important to them. And so so those are the two parts to Chai Mitzvah, the group coming together for meaningful conversation and the bucket list. So to date, we've had about 8,000 people that have become a Chai Mitzvah.
So these small groups, okay, and obviously from a variety of different locations, synagogues, J's, et cetera, to make contact, they have to find out how to get in touch with this. So the website, the contact information, we're posting that on the screen. It's chaimitzvah.org. Is that what it is?
Right. Absolutely.
So, and we'll post the contact information on the video, and also we'll continue to mention it for those people who are not watching. So these are specific groups, and they're multi-generational from what I'm understanding. So Nina, the curricula, the packets, the content, let's put it that way, the content, you span the generation. So there's stuff for teenagers, and there's stuff for in between, and there's stuff for senior or elders, and you also are pioneering a curriculum on grandparents, which I think speaks to a lot of the Jewish sacred aging demographic, me included. So walk me through, if you really will, Nina, what are some of these curriculum topics? And if I understand correctly, each curriculum topic has as Audrey alluded to, a number of like booklets that are sent to the group. Okay, and then you do the activities in the booklet around text, et cetera, I think there's a Musar one too, if I'm not mistaken. But let's talk about the grandparents thing, because I think that really speaks to a lot of our people. What are you doing with the grandparents curriculum for Chai Mitzvah? And if I'm a grandparent, I think this is like the greatest thing in the world. How do I get it?
Okay, it's really good. I just put a little background in that we have different topics. We have Musar. We have what we call standard. We have Aseret, the Big Ten, which is about the Ten Commandments. We have special programs for WRJ, the Women of Reform Judaism. We have business ethics. So we have a lot of different packets for adults, and we have teen versions of most of them. Grandparents and Beyond follows the standard curriculum that we have. So we'll have topics in it like rites of passage, mindfulness and conscious living, gratitude, all kinds of things that are really fun to look at. And you can have, we've made them so they're accessible for grandparents and grandchildren of many different ages. But I'm going to start out, before that, I just want to go back and tell you how we started Grandparents and Beyond. The Jewish Grandparents Network conducted the first national survey of Jewish grandparents. And they divided grandparents into five categories: joyful, faithful, secular, wistful, and detached. And we read the results of the study and concluded that all except the detached would probably benefit from an easy tool to bring lots of Jewish learning and engagement to them and their grandchildren. And even the most engaged, the joyous and the faithful, they really wanted their grandchildren to love Judaism. And most of our demographic, the majority of the adults that use Chai Mitzvah are in the grandparent demographic. They're 50 and up. So we thought this would be a great way to take our materials and take our meaningful conversation and have grandparents engage with their grandchildren. Intergenerational dialogue has always been important, but now especially because many grandparents aren't visiting the way they used to with their grandchildren, we need some kind of a framework. We can't just say, how was school today? And then my grandchild makes himself into a Bitmoji and, you know, that's it. So it's really nice to have something structured. And then also it's good because when we eventually are able to go in person again, it also works really well in person. We also wanted to make it not just for people with grandchildren, but people who want intergenerational dialogue. You might have grandnieces and grandnephews, a family friend. It's good for intergenerational dialogue of any kind. And it's cool, so it can work with different ages. We partner with an organization called Grandparent-Grandchild Connection to develop the curriculum. And it can be used in a few different ways. You can use it just as a dyad, you and your grandchildren. And you don't have to have a lot of Jewish knowledge, just as Audrey was saying. It's very easy to follow. It's turnkey, it's user-friendly. The grandparents register on our website, chaimitzvah.org, and they get a subscription, and every month they get a different topic. So the one that just went out this month was preparing for the Passover Seder, and it has a lot of, it's not your normal frogs here, frogs there. It's deep, and it really gives you cause to think. One of the first things in that one is we have seeded paper that you can order, and you can write down your thoughts for the coming year, because Passover is also the beginning of the Jewish people. It's one of the four Jewish New Years. So there's interest like that in it. We have a webinar I put on our website every month, so it can help walk you through. It's really not needed, but if you want a little more confidence, you want to think in advance to plan what you're going to do with your grandchildren, you can get some hints from that. Just arrange a time during the month to meet with your grandchild, virtually or in person. And there are a lot of activities in the source book. So you'll pick what you want to do, what motivates you and your grandchild. Every so often we have a community, like maybe three times a year, a community event. We just had one where grandparents and grandchildren came together. We had like five families on it. And the youngest child we had there was four, and the oldest was 15. And they all actually took part in it. We all thought about what makes us feel free. And we had, you know, the little kids who their Legos make them feel free. We had a 15-year-old who introduced us to a genre of music called gaming music. And he played some examples for us. So you really can connect in such really meaningful ways through these activities.
Again, because of the pandemic, and this is, and we're still, you know, in it. This is doable virtually, correct? If I'm in Philadelphia and my grandchildren are in Massachusetts, we can do this online on Zoom or whatever platform. So it's designed to do that, correct?
Exactly. You get the materials as PDFs. We also have printed materials available, but these are great because you can share them on the screen. And we make it so you can do it very basically, or you can, we have links to things you can use that are a little bit more advanced if you feel, you know, if you're not scared of technology, but it's easy to use either way. And usually your grandchildren can walk you through anything. We have videos embedded in the PDFs. We have links to different information. No matter how much knowledge you have, I find sometimes my grandchild will ask me a question like, what's the Tanakh? And of course, I know what the Tanakh is, but I could not answer that question in a way that's easy to understand. So if you want to go that route, there's a link and you can see what it is. And if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Let me ask you something about in the grandparents curriculum specifically, because you included some really lovely pieces other than the activity. You have this, and I'll just throw this out to either one of you. Two things I just want to ask you to just elaborate on. So people who, there are grandparents listening and who may be interested in this. The Gematria section with quoting the Fifth Commandment, and you also include the Talmudic, a little Talmud gloss from Kiddushin, on what does it mean to honor and what does it mean to respect. But the Gematria thing with the numbers and honor and love, which is fascinating, and the quote from Harold Kushner, Rabbi Kushner, on the sand and the sandcastle and the waves, which is going to lead to another question. But could you just walk us through a little bit about these two things? Because I think it really can illustrate very, very profoundly some of the ways that a conversation can be opened intergenerationally. So either one of you, Audrey, talk to me about the Gematria thing.
Well, I'll talk to you about Rabbi Kushner, and we'll let Nina talk to you about the Gematria, because that's her,
nice
thing.
Job. Nice job. Okay.
But the Rabbi Kushner is, the Rabbi Kushner quote begins our source book on the individual and community. Is it the, oh no, it's on interpersonal relationships.
Interpersonal relationships.
And we begin that unit with that story of these children that are building a sandcastle, and you know, they're working all day, working really hard to build a sandcastle, and then a big wave comes and knocks it down, and you know, we think, oh, the sandcastles that we build as adults, boy, if they get ruined, you know, we're destroyed. We put all this work into it, but what did the children do? They held hands and they laughed. And Rabbi Kushner ends that story with, if you have somebody's hand to hold, then you can laugh when your sandcastle goes away. And so it's about relationships. And we at Chai Mitzvah, this is our primary thing that we believe so strongly. There's so many organizations out there that are offering learning opportunities, especially during COVID. We can be busy all day long going to lectures, participating in all kinds of things. But if you don't show up, Rabbi Address, to one of those lectures, nobody's going to call you and say, Rabbi Address, why weren't you at the lecture, at the lecture on anti-Semitism, or why weren't you at the Talmud study we did? Because there were 400 other people that were logged in from all over the country. So that's not what we do. We are an engagement tool. We believe strongly that what is going to save Judaism is that we need to connect deeply to Judaism and to each other. So Chai Mitzvah promotes these small groups because these small groups engage with each other. They support each other. And we talk about grow your Judaism. What does that mean? We work with Reform, Conservative, we work with Modern Orthodox, we work with New Age, unengaged, unaffiliated, young, old. We had high mitzvah groups in three independent living facilities recently. People were 90 to 102. And Sylvia, who was 95 at the time, she decided for her learning to take Rabbi Olinsky's Living Each Day, and she incorporated that into her morning ritual. And Sophie, who was 100, said, I really want to learn about Jews around the world for her learning. So we are growing and learning all throughout our lives. So so that story is the story of Chai Mitzvah. We hold each other's hands so we can grow Jewishly all throughout our lives. So Nina can talk to you about Gematria.
Go ahead, Nina, talk to me about the Gematria thing. It's really cool.
So that's an example that we have. We have different texts, like the story Audrey told you and the one I'm about to tell you about Gematria. They're all accessible. They're all interesting. You don't need a lot of knowledge to understand them. But yet you get exposed to all kinds of really wonderful, interesting parts of Jewish tradition and literature that you may or may not have thought about so deeply before. This is a fun thing that kids like to do puzzles, and Gematria is the perfect structure for a puzzle because every letter has a number value. And it's kind of, I don't know if it's uniquely Jewish, but it seems like a very Jewish thing.
So, it's uniquely mystical tradition, yes, of Judaism.
Right, and it's a nice way to be exposed to it, and you can always delve and learn more. But a lot of people, so this is from, I think also interpersonal relationships. It's about your relationship with your parents and your grandparents. And we know we're supposed to honor, and we know we're supposed to respect. But that's a hard term to really understand. So this Gematria game is you look at the numeric value of the word ahava, which is to love. You look at the numeric value of, is it kind of in front of me? I think it's honor. Anyway, one adds up to 13 and one adds up to 26. So the way to honor your parents is to give them double the amount of love.
Right.
And that's a nice way to understand what this is about.
So let me follow up with something, because then I want to go back to the Kushner story, because I think in the grandparents' curriculum, if I'm not mistaken, one of the topics is loss. You have something about loss.
Death, life, and loss. Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about how, and especially in the pandemic, when not only so many of our generation have lost a year in ways that we can't get back in the same way as if we were like 25. But how do you deal with the loss issue within the grandparents' curriculum? Because that could be extremely profound, because on our generation's mind a lot, either subconsciously or consciously, is the reality of our own mortality. So how do you deal with that in the curriculum? And I'll just throw it open to either one of you. Somebody.
Start out by, before we started to do this particular topic, I was pretty intimidated, I have to say. And Audrey kept saying that we really have to do this. And I'm really happy with how it came out, with the ways that we looked at it. Do you want to take it, Audrey, or do you want me to?
Well, I just remember one piece of it was that we focused a lot on legacy. We focused a lot on conversations about what do you want to be remembered for, and what do we want our grandchildren to know about us, and what are our wishes and prayers for them. And so we focused a lot on building a conversation around legacy, around ethical will, around, you know, we want, you know, to talk about the stuff we own, and you know, we always think about, well, who's going to get this and this and this, but really what we wanted to focus on is the legacy of hopes and dreams that we have for our grandchildren and what we want to be remembered for and what we want them to understand about who we are and how we lived our lives. So that's one piece of it. Nina, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the other things in there?
Some of the things we had were also focused on what we have now. Not that we're going to be gone someday, although that's something to deal with as well. But what's unique about each person, and what can we celebrate about ourselves, about each other? What's unique that we can even look at now? Another thing you said made me think about losing. I think for grandparents and probably for others as well, has helped us to focus on what's important, because we have to. We have a whole new way of doing a lot of things, and I think that the things that are really important don't fall away. They just are expressed differently.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask you this, because the Krishna story of the sandcastle, when I read it again, triggered this, because the reality of the sea washing away the sandcastle, reminded me of the fact that we spend so much of our time worrying about material things, which are meaningless in the grand scheme of things. And that for many grandparents, as we get older, we come to a point in our life, and this is part of the work that we do at Jewish Sacred Aging, is understanding that we don't necessarily need more stuff, but the spiritual aspect, the legacy aspect, really becomes more important. And so I think that's why I wanted to ask you about it, because I think for people who may say, well, I can always do games with my grandchildren, and I can do this, and we talk a lot. But really, when you open the door to the real substantive issues of one's own place and what it means and what's left over and what that legacy is, that's the real substance, I think, of what we need to talk about. So that's why thank you for answering that, because I think it's important for people to understand that.
Everything that we do centers around that, a meaningful conversation around Jewish text. This is not a Jewish literacy program. And frankly, we do this program in a number of young Israels where people are quite learned and quite observant. And yet they don't study this way. It's not about what the Mefarshim think. It's about what you think. And how does your Judaism impact how you live? And we have meaningful conversation around Jewish text. I want to add one thing that's really important, I'm sure, on people's minds, because they're trying to say, oh, this is a great program, but how much does it cost? And we want to put it out there right now. Mm-hmm. This is really exciting, and we are... Because we are so fortunate to have Scott Shea be our board chair, and he works like mad to create funds, and we do fundraisers every 2 to 3 years. We raise money and then we give it away. So we are giving this program away at no charge at all for Jewish grandparents. And we have set an audacious, a big, big goal for us that by September 12th of 2021, we would like to see 1,000 grandparents using the Grandparents and Beyond curriculum. So we are offering it at no charge. All you have to do is go to our website and sign up, and we never sell your name. We don't do anything bad with your name. It just gives us data so that we know how many people are using it. And we'll send you a source book every month to do with your grandparents, with your grandchildren. And I'd like to say something else. I have young grandchildren, God bless. We have 6 young grandchildren. The oldest is 8 or 7. And talking to them on Zoom is hard. And we have been using the grandparent curriculum. I've been using it with them throughout the year. And we do, and you know, we've been having such a good time with it because it gives them structure. So one of the day schools that one of my kids are in keeps inviting us to their programs. And frankly, I get on this program and it's like 30 minutes long, and my grandchild makes a 2-second cameo performance at, you know, he says something for 2 seconds, and I have to stay on the thing for 45 minutes. And it's just not working. So we needed to really find another model to engage with our grandchildren. And so, and Nina can tell you a little bit too about how schools are using this curriculum.
I was just going to say that.
Go ahead.
So yeah, so we've been using it with our young grandchildren. I also have very young grandchildren, but it's also really great for older students or grandchildren as well, because we have all kinds of different activities. And one of the ways we're using it now, there is a middle school program in California. They have three groups going, and they have the grandchildren and grandparent meet when they would be in school, and they have a conversation with the instructor, and then they divide into breakout rooms where the grandparent and grandchild do the activities, and then they come back and talk again. And that's been working really well. We also have a BBYO group piloting now, and a few others that are interested. And so the teenagers get together with their advisor. They go through the booklet and see what activities they like. Then they go and meet with their grandparents. Then they come back and talk about what they did. So that's another way of doing it. And those are like preteens and teens who are having a really good experience with it as well. So there's something there for everyone, for sure.
So I want to thank you. We're talking with Audrey Lichter, the executive director of High Mitzvah, and Nina Wallen, the managing director. And before we start running out of time, and again, the website is high with CHAI Mitzvah, highmitzvah.org. The other contact information is on the screen. Before we run out of time, I got to ask you this one question, because you mentioned in the beginning that you work with WRJ, the Women of Reform Judaism, in a program, I'm sure, dealing with women's issues and et cetera, et cetera. So here's my question. One of the great needs, I think, and I run across this at almost every workshop that I do with Jewish sacred aging, is there's a paucity, a real lack of meaningful programming and intense conversation and relationship building for Jewish men, especially Jewish men of a certain age. Do you have any plans? Is it in your radar to develop something like that?
We would love to have Jewish men do our program. It's not just for Jewish women. And you know, we do have curriculum that they would enjoy. We have the business ethics one, but we have that Seret Hadibrot, the Ten Commandments, our standard curriculum. The issue for us is really not that we, I mean, if there was something you could tell us that men would like, we would be happy to create a curriculum around it. Because the curriculum is just the tool for having people have meaningful conversation around Jewish text. Many of our groups are co-ed. Many of our groups are, especially our affinity and friendship groups, it's couples that do it together. They may put, you know, we have, I'm in a group with four other couples and we've been meeting for years. And so a lot of them are husband and wife teams or, you know, but we collaborate with lots of different organizations, not just the Women of Reform Judaism, but we collaborate with JCCs and federations. We have found, and I think it's true probably across the board, that women are more joining these things more readily. They're more interested in this kind of networking and engagement, but we would be more than happy to work with men's clubs, to work with men's groups, to work with men's friendship groups. It's been a hard sell, but we would be happy to do it and invite them very much to come in.
Maybe a conversation for somebody who is hearing this or watching this may have some ideas and as a follow-up. Audrey, Nina, thank you very, very much for joining us on today's edition of Seekers of Meaning. I know you're very creative and doing lots of things, and congratulations for all the successes and wishes for future successes, because what you're doing is really, as you say, and even on your website, growing, planting the seeds so to grow Judaism. And for that, thank you very, very much. So stay healthy, stay well, and thank you very much for joining us today. Take care. And to all of you, thank you for being part of it. edition of Seekers of Meaning, the TV show and podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. Remember, the show is available also on that Roku thing. And if you don't know what that is, ask your grandchildren. And again, we welcome your comments and suggestions. You can email me at rabbiaddress@jewishsacredaging.com. And again, visit the Facebook page. And if you'd like to make a tax-free donation to help support our work and these podcasts, go to the website, jewishsacredaging.com. Click on the donate button and just follow the prompts from there. Seekers of Meaning is produced at the Broadcast Center of the Lubetkin Media Companies in beautiful Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And a big shout out to our producer, the genius of Steve Lubetkin. I'm your host, Rabbi Richard Address, and I look forward to meeting you, greeting you again on our next Seekers of Meaning TV show and podcast. To all of you, stay safe, stay healthy. Shalom.